going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
Thank you so much, Capital. It is the Going Deep podcast. I am Donovan Bennett. I'm joined in studio.
Let's go, baby.
By Cabrel Bartholomew.
Yes.
Richards.
Big sexy Bartolo Colon, wherever you are. Salute to you, sir.
Where is he?
Someone was saying that he went to a party and Bartolo Colon was the coolest person at the party. Does not speak a lick of English. But just said that was the coolest and could understand English. And you could understand what he said in Spanish, but just cool. And there was, and on top of that, there was, I don't know, I think it was in our baseball group chat. Like he's had, I don't know, 800 at bats or something. Maybe that's too many. Maybe 100 at bats. And all but seven swings, his helmet did not fall off.
I missed that in the baseball group chat because I just grazed that group chat. I'm not.
Or you're not feeding until April 1 or April 2nd, or actually before that.
Every once in a while, I'll get like a Ben Nicholson Smith article. I'm like, oh, you guys might actually like a little deep dive into this. I'll just throw it into the chat. I'll see a tweet from Heyman that might right. just like.
I'm always watching the videos, like John Boy videos, really? And the J9 innings videos. It's always, I mean, it's either like trying to hit 95 and then the movement is just so disgusting, or it's, you know, some rumor or some signing that the Blue Jays didn't make.
So this is a record. It's about 7 seconds and we're already off topic.
You're right. You're right. No, yeah, because we have the Super Bowl 58 to discuss.
Correct. In Las Vegas. But it's, so we are in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 group chats.
You and I?
I believe.
Yeah, probably about that.
Which are just like some form of the same.
No. Baseball is specifically baseball. The football one's pretty much football. And then we have the other ones as well.
But what I'm saying is there's a heavy crossover of people who are in multiple.
Well, you and I, with the Venn diagram between you and I is like almost one circle.
The truth as well.
Yeah, well, his is like.
Or actually, no, there's one he's not in.
Yeah, yeah. So you and I, it's like, yeah, it's a circle. If it's blue and red, the circle is purple.
Speaking of, get an iPhone, please. Like,
no.
Texco Green is a cute song.
I'm discovering there are more people with Samsung or like Androids than I thought, because I always make the joke about green text bubbles. I mean, I saw Connor at this, we were there at this Bieber. Drew House event.
Listen, can you give us a last name? Because you're on first name basis with multiple Connors. McDavid, McGregor.
McDavid.
Which Connor are we talking about?
No, just McDavid. And like the response time has been lengthened because of the green text bubbles. But by that I mean as they used to be
It should be.
What do you mean?
A couple things. Like, we are in a Rogers
Samsung
building.
I know.
Go downstairs. Just go on your way out. Just go through the turnstiles. Get yourself a little iPhone. Get yourself you don't even have to pay for it. Just, you know, sign up for a longer contract and you're straight. Speaking of Connor, about a week ago.
Nice.
In Toronto at History, you had a IRL, in real life, embrace and exchange with Connor. We were at the Drew House party, brought to you by Rogers. I've said the name of my company twice now in the last minute, but I'm a company man. Connor also a Rogers employee.
Oh my god! Yes, Rogers okay, money. Yeah. You're flying the flag right now, bro.
You gave him a little embrace. You went in close. He was with his
lady Lauren.
Correct. What does he smell like?
Victory.
Okay.
Smells like a 16-game win streak. And he just, that weekend, All-Star weekend, it's got to be so busy for, I mean, all the players, but like Connor specifically, because he's the face of the league. So he's got, I think he works with CIBC. I think there's a insurance company. There's Rogers, obviously. Then there's the league activities. It's a busy weekend for him. And you know, he's from Newmarket, which is, I don't know, an hour drive from Toronto. So I'm sure he's probably not overwhelmed with friends and family because they understand how busy that he is. But it was like, I was like, yo, you watch the thing? He's like, no, I haven't watched it yet. The thing, like the interview that we did. And he goes, I heard it's good. I'm like, it is good, bro. And then there's a part two coming out. And then Leo was with him, or Dreisaitl. And he's like, I watched it. I saw the, he goes, it was great, man. It turned out great. I'm like, thank you, man. It's always, now look, homie could have had a couple of tequilas and was just feeling nice. But I'm gonna take him at his word. And the conversation I'm talking about is Leon Dreisaitl and Mitch Marner on a boat we shot earlier this year. And he's like, oh, it turned out really, really great. It's always great to get that feedback from the athletes that I annoy, because I annoy so many of them. And I try to be, anyway, you know, we try to be as creative as we can with these cats. And hockey players especially, not like the most, you know, personality forward group. So it was great to get that feedback. Well, and then we saw Mitchie later, and we were all, it was like time to go home for you, me, and Mitchie. And he was also very complimentary of the piece.
For the uninitiated, that would be Mitch Marner, who he's referring to as Mitchie, because you have it like that.
No, but that's, okay.
That's what they call him when he goes to the bank? Well, let's say Mr. Marner now, when he goes to the bank.
But whenever his teammates were, I'm not a teammate, obviously, but anyway, yeah, Mitch Marner. Super Bowl.
No, we can spend some time at the Drew House All-Star Party, and All-Star Weekend in general. That was 1A with the best party I reached, the two black guys party at Throne Barbershop in conjunction with Mitchell and Ness was pretty cool, just because it literally didn't look or feel or smell like hockey. And I mean smell like hockey, like it obviously didn't smell like a hockey bag, but they were serving patties at a hockey party, which is necessary. Whether it's
wait, they're serving patties at a hockey party?
Well, at like, this two black guys party.
Oh, they I thought you meant serving, like a hockey party, like in general. Like, wait, where are the patties, bro? There's a keg? There's
no,
a
I'm
keg
not talking
stand,
about...
Someone's jumping off a table.
I'm not talking about, like,
there's
in Rimouski when the Bantam team gets together. They're not serving patties. No, that's not what I was referring
to. Okay.
I'm talking about this specific party in Toronto. But I'll even take it to Bieber, who performed at History, gave us some ballads, which was an interesting choice.
It was an unexpected acoustic set. Unexpected to me. I'm not sure about, like, the heart of his fan base. And there were, I mean, there was a healthy ratio in there, probably like 65, 35 women to men. And it was a great vibe. I don't know his catalog. Do you know his catalog?
I mean, I know it enough because my kids love the song Baby. So it just, the algorithm is pushing.
Baby and Baby Shark?
They actually do love both of those, yes. when they come with the mashup of those two, they will set it off. I'm not sure Bieber opened his eyes once. Like, he was, like, on a stool.
Yeah, it was an emo. There were some emo moments. Like, I don't know what song he... What was the song? The interlude to a song was, like, 29 seconds of silence, and he was, like, centering himself. So picture Bieber sitting on a stool, and his head is down. Lights are kind of down, and he's just in this moment. Like, maybe he's summoning some emotional presence or locking into where he was when he wrote that particular song. And I don't know that. I wish I knew the name of the song so that I could get the audience there with us. Unfortunately, I do not, because I only know Peaches. So anyway, he performed this song, and you're right. It was. There were a couple of emotional songs where he had his eyes closed, because you would have a better vantage point, because you were on the floor looking like very like close-ish to the stage to see him, and I was holding down the bar. That was my real estate.
I was, and I said to my wife, this is literally the closest we're ever gonna be at a concert, so soak all of this in, because we're not getting floor seats, probably not getting back into History unless, like, you know, Daniel Caesar is doing like three
nice
straight nights.
Great reference.
In the spring. But more importantly, like, hockey badly needs this. Needs the jerseys, needs Will Arnett to be cracking jokes on the broadcast. I don't know if they need Bublé.
No, I need Bublé.
Do they?
Yeah, he's a Vancouver... you got to even it out,
okay,
bro.
But did they need Bublé
Well, Bublé,
in that state.
Well, Bublé may have had a couple of spicy margaritas. He just did a song with Jason Derulo, and he may have helped himself in the green room before he came out just to feel loose. But
did you see the press conference?
No.
Okay, so you don't know what I'm referring to.
No. Did he say he was on shrooms?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know, that's more. Okay. I mean, yeah, he's an artist, you know.
I just need the picture in picture of that presser and, you know, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly just watching at the same time. Being like, wait, what now? But more importantly, I think hockey needs this infusion of, like, I want to say, I was going to say, like, black culture, but no, like, hip-hop culture. Like, hip-hop culture is
and
massive.
And you're going back to the throne party. You're like the Mitchell and Ness throne
party.
The throne party,
I mean, Bieber is not hip-hop, but, like, you know, the jerseys certainly are a lot more progressive and stylistic and fun than some of the all-star jerseys we've seen of years past.
Do you remember
no disrespect to the Prince of Wales division.
The Campbell Conference. But even a few years ago, there was just the white jerseys and the black jerseys. And it looked like
with the team, with your team logo, yes.
And it was just white on black and black on white. Yeah, so
I do remember that.
Huge departure, having bright yellow, bright red, bright blue, and then white. Like, I don't know if you're going there, but the style of the jersey was perfect for the fan they are trying to attract, which are 10-year-olds. And every 10-year-old who loves this game is going to buy or going to beg their parents to get them a jersey for whichever star they love that's playing on the blue team or the red team or the yellow team or the white team. I think it was a brilliant move.
I think you need the 10-year-olds. There's no...
Yeah, you need the next wave of your fans.
There's no greater example than the Raptors in this city who, like, you know, cater to us with a dinosaur, no doubt.
Yeah.
But like, we, when we were coming up, like, oh, man, have appreciation for the brand, love the sport. You know, our parents took us, and then, you know, we became accustomed to interacting with the sport. Now that we've got, you know, some disposable income, you know, you could find me in the Sprite Zone. You could find you in a suite.
In the Sprite
nightclub,
yeah.
But
yeah,
either
yeah,
way, we're in the building, and I think, I think your sport can become a dinosaur overnight. Just ask boxing.
Oof.
Side note:
Desi and Roe are not tolerating sitting in the Sprite Zone at Scotiabank. If and when you take them to basketball games.
Wow.
You better sit in section 108, 107, 108, 109, or 119, 117, 118, 119, which is right in the center of the building, looking basically center court.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they will. In Mississauga, watching Raptors 905. Because that's where my budget's at. Like, doggy, we can't even afford a PWHL game at this point. Never mind. So we will be watching 905.
I got a pair of tickets for my dad.
Go ahead,
and my
Grady
brother.
Dick. Hit that corner three, boy.
Come on, boy, boy. Like last year, it's like a Grizz. I think they saw the Grizz. It was like way more expensive than I thought. And it was a birthday present for my brother. I'm like, okay, I'll spend the bread. But man, it was not what I expected for just a regular season game against Memphis.
Never mind parking. Never mind food.
Oh no, they took the train in. My parents aren't trying to spend extra park. $30 for parking is extortion to
yeah,
my parents.
We're tapping that too. Presto. We're getting on the GO train. Yeah.
Coming in from Brampton, GO train, boom, and then the TTC.
Well, as I said, I never thought I'd see an NHL All-Star Weekend that was a facsimile of some things you'd see at NBA All-Star Week in terms of the parties, the activations. Love the grassroots stuff. So shout out to the league for, you know, their collabs with Hockey for Youth, with Black Girl Hockey Club. That was really, really cool. I also want to talk about things I'd never thought I'd see not that long ago. Doggy, I never thought I'd see a Super Bowl in your home away from home, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, man. Like, when they started building the Death Star, and it looks like a portal to space, and it's this beautiful, imposing building. And, you know, us growing up, we just think, you know, the Vegas, the stain of Vegas and gambling and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. and the NBA All-Star Weekend being in 2007, it was a bit of a disaster, and like, there was like no optimism that like a team would go there in the Vegas Golden Knights, and salute to them year one going to the Stanley Cup Finals, and then year six winning the Stanley Cup, but having the success of that team, and then the Summer League that obviously opened the door, but back when we were at the Score, there was just so little optimism that anything proper or legitimate could happen in Las Vegas. And, you know, here we are, Super Bowl 58 with Mahomes versus Mr. Irrelevant. And was the draft in Las Vegas? I can't even remember when Brock Purdy was drafted. Ooh. But the draft could have been in Las Vegas.
I was at that draft, and I was...
You didn't stick around for 256.
I certainly did not.
Was that just like a fax? Like
that was
not announced.
That
right?
was the Aiden Hutchinson to the Lions draft. So yeah, that would have been the, because this is Purdy's second year.
Okay,
and
so
it's Hutchinson's second year. So yeah,
he would have been drafted in Las Vegas.
Wow,
that could be a cool full circle moment for him.
I can already hear Nance on the call, right?
Right, from Mr. Irrelevant to Mr. Champion or whatever he would say. He's got a lot of pressure.
Bet on Purdy.
Oh yeah, there has to be some kind of gambling. I think the league is sponsored by DraftKings, so Nance will pull it together more poetically than we are trying. And Romo, that's why you go all in on red. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. But you even said like the league is sponsored by DraftKings. I remember. So R&R Partners is the marketing agency that does all the promotion for the Las Vegas Tourism and Conference Board. And when they had their slogan, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Vegas. When they came out with that, they bought a Super Bowl ad. And the NFL was like, no, actually, no. Because we don't even want it close. Even though it's during commercial time, like, no. Now we have a Super Bowl in Las Vegas. Mind you, the two teams are staying 30 miles outside of Vegas. So
oh, they probably staying in Henderson and Summerlin.
Right, just, probably. I think it is Henderson. Just so, you know, you don't want, you know, Kadarius Toney at the craps table. Right?
Why is he catching strays, bro? What? My guy was heated on IG Live. Like, but salute to the internet for clipping that moment where he was just going off on, it's like, I'm not injured. I don't even know if there's a clean feed of my guy's rant because homie was in his feelings.
I was trying to score at home because he was going back and forth between cap and no cap. I'm like, wait, is that real or not real? Like, wait, slow down. And I also can't see you. What is the trend with IG lives that are just all black?
That's the first one I've seen.
I saw another player do it shortly thereafter, and I just see like bubbles popping up and hearts and whatnot and comments, but like, I mean, not that I'm dying to see him, but what is the point of this?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, because you don't know where he is. You don't know, is he even looking at the camera? Is he just holding the phone to his mouth? Or has he got his AirPods in? Who knows? But yeah, it was weird. Weird to see. Also weird time. Like, my guy just super emotional on a game day.
He saw MVS make that catch and rewrite his narrative.
Oh,
and he
my
doesn't
gosh.
Have the... the ability to, and then he felt the type of way. But talk about telling on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, Andy Reid is trying to do you a favor, my guy. He's, make something up. He just had a kid, personal and hip. Yeah, sure, go with it. And, yeah, you're not playing because you're killing us.
Mm.
We're just giving you a timeout right now.
How does Mahomes, I know he, like, with MVS, like, what are their conversations in the building or at practice? Mahomes seems to be a pretty upbeat guy. So is he just, like, super encouraging, super positive? Because, like, you could just be like, yo, bleep that dude. Like, he just, from what he, what was it, the, was it game, what game was it where he dropped? Was it against the Lions in game one of the season?
Oh, the where he just volleyballed it for a pick six? Just a little pop pass?
He dropped, yeah, that, and, gosh, I'm trying to think. There were one or two big drops from MVS this season. And then obviously...
MVS, that was against the Packers to win the game at the end of the game. He had
a big
drop.
And they lost that one, right?
They did.
Right.
I believe he had also big drops in the regular season against the Eagles, Bills. I mean, you could just go through the schedule. He's had a big drop against multiple teams.
But then to be like reward, then to be redeemed in, you know, heavy, like the most leveraged moment against against Baltimore, and then makes a critical, was it 32-yard completion? You know, under 2 minutes left, which seals the game for them. Victory formation, boom, and they're off to the Super Bowl.
So the algorithm is feeding me all things Patrick Mahomes because, one, he is him, and two, because I continue to consume it, because I honestly believe I want to soak in all this. Cause I think we're watching Jordan with cleats right now. And so I want to, you mentioned, you know, whether it's for me, you know, Desi, my oldest, or you, CJ, like he's in the list of people I will tell them about. They won't care. Nice. They'll be watching, you know, something on, you know, Google Glass while I'm having this conversation. But I was listening to a bunch of podcasts about Mahomes' psyche, former teammates and all that. And if you remember that MVS drop, he said, you know what, afterwards, it's my bad. I threw it too far. That's on me. I missed him. And everyone's like, dude, like, you hit him in the hands. Like, he had to stretch, but, like, that's on him. But totally, like, zen, I'm going to take this pressure from you, work out that knot, I'm going to take it. Then the thought in terms of when Mahomes lost it on the officials.
Right, in that Buffalo game.
Correct, when Tony was offside. The psyche was, so he has all of this frustration that is building inside, and he just broke. Like, he's normally just, you know, chewing on the mouthpiece, hands on top of helmet, like, breathe, get through it, and he couldn't that time. And so, but he couldn't channel it towards the actual problem, the receivers. So what you saw was all that motion going to an official. Like, this needs to be released at someone. You are going to catch this. But poetically, when you look back in that pass to MVS, if you go back when he said, it's my bad, I threw too far. He actually underthrew that one a little bit.
Oh yeah, against Baltimore. Yeah, and
yes.
And he caught it right in his breadbasket. Yeah, it was under. Yeah, that's, yes, a great. What an adjustment.
So the thought was like Mahomes made the calculation of like, I'm not gonna throw it too far where he has to stretch whatever. If anything, I'm gonna not miss. I'm gonna make it short, and he can kind of just like body catch it and fall down.
Yeah.
Which is what happened. There's a sports psychology thing that like if you are, you know, have like a case of, you know, the whiffs.
Yips.
If you're the yips, if you're Chuck Knobloch.
Right. They're the most famous of the yips. The guys with yips.
It, something that is very routine or very easy becomes difficult because mentally you're thinking, oh man, don't mess this up because this
Simmons
should be routine. Yes.
Shooting three.
That's correct. Yeah. But something that is a little bit more difficult becomes easy because your brain's calculations are figure out how do I do this. It's not about messing it up. It's about figuring out a way to do it. So you might make a difficult catch if you're struggling, but an easy catch would become difficult, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And sometimes you see guys just easy, whether they're like, they drop easy passes, ready to turn up field and make a move on a defender or whatever. And I'm sure that gets in their head because they're just humans. They're like, ah, oh, and the language got to be hella colorful and super self-deprecating, and hopefully that doesn't, you know, spiral or avalanche into bigger things, which then, you know, could be classified unscientifically as the yips. But it's something that some guys struggle with for sure.
You are an executive producer here. You've been a leader on our betting content and strategy. What's Vegas going to be like? You used to live there because every year, historically, more people have traveled to Vegas for the Super Bowl than the actual Super Bowl host city. Like, I haven't been, but I've heard the Super Bowl is actually not that live. There's parties the week of, but come game day, it's pretty corporate. There aren't as many fans of the two teams.
It's so expensive.
Well, that part. Vegas, this is going to be, it's going to be different. What do you expect it to be with the precursor of, they're on a run of massive events. That draft I mentioned was probably one of them. F1 race was the most recent.
Yeah, a little bit of a disaster, unfortunately. salute to Lewis Hamilton making the jump to Ferrari.
That hurts me a little bit. It hurts my
heart.
Yeah? Yeah, just him rocking that Puma Ferrari gear is just not going to, it's not going to hit the same as
well, no,
that black and teal.
Yeah, yeah.
Mercedes, him and Toto in the photo shoot.
I need to see, like, I don't know how much Netflix will have of, like, the real story, and maybe we'll see it in a year when Drive to Survive comes out for season 7 or whatever it is. But obviously there's a huge fracture in that relationship with Mercedes to have them jump to Ferrari in 25. Vegas will be lit. I mean, San Francisco is not that far. I mean, it would be more lit if it was Baltimore versus Detroit, like those two cities and those fan bases coming. But, you know, Circa Swim will be on fire. That is like the most beautiful pool in Las Vegas. I mean, salute to Wet Republic. That's pretty dope at Encore Beach Club, excuse me. That's dope for like a party. But Circa Swim, which is in downtown Vegas at the Circa Hotel, will be just incredible. And, you know, people, it's more affordable than like a Miami. And I should use air quotes.
And is that just supply and demand? Like there's just so many rooms.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, there's a strip, and then there's, you know, they're like, man, when I lived there, the locals, they would go to casinos like close to where they lived. So when you live there, you don't go to the strip. You go to, and there are like 100 other casinos, dude. Shout out to the Red Rock. That was where, you know, down the street from where I lived. But it'll be on fire. And it's obviously the Super Bowl is very corporate with your Budweisers and your Pepsis and all that kind of stuff. But the environment, I think, will be like any big event. Thousands of people milling about. And I'm looking forward to hearing, like, what Usher is going to... Do you think Usher will be the most popular he's ever been on Super Bowl Sunday?
Wow. The height of his popularity is probably...
04, 05?
Like when must be, yeah.
Confessions.
Yeah, probably. I've sensed people are kind of like Usher, meh, little shrug
because of friggin' Taylor Swift.
No,
like taking all of his steam.
I think we've just become spoiled. We got Dr. Dre, Kendrick, 50, Eminem. Then we have Bad Gal Rihanna for, you know, just her, and we hadn't really seen anything from her. And then she drops a little, yeah, you know, I'm pregnant. And now I think we're spoiled. We're like, don't let this Jay-Z Apple Music collab fool you. For a long time, the Super Bowl halftime wasn't even for us or our parents. It was for like our principals. Like it was just
whenever there's
dusty,
like a Bruce Springsteen,
boring, yeah,
or a Coldplay, or, you know, I get even Bruno Mars, who is a phenomenal performer. I think Bruno has already done it twice, and I don't even know if he's 30 or maybe he's. You know, he'd done it, I think, twice before he was even 30. But Usher, yo, he's had, like, a second career. Like, the Vegas residency is a thing, and it was, like, transformative. My guy's on roller skates, homie, doing this song with Ella, Don't Waste My Time, on skating backwards, like, on a circular stage. I'm guessing we're going to see some roller skates in this performance. And obviously, Usher, the guy is an icon. He's a legend, and... Yes, we are spoiled, but I'm excited to see his performance because he's one of the masters of his genre. Like, it's Usher is the, you know, the product of Michael Jackson, who's the greatest performer of all time. And Usher and Chris Brown and Timberlake, to a certain extent, are like on a tier below Michael. But you know that these guys are showmen, and it's in Vegas. Man, it's going to be spectacular.
Is he going to bring somebody's wife on stage?
No, man.
What, isn't that his thing at this point?
Not in a football stadium, in a concert venue, maybe.
I'm just saying, if he's going to stay true to
like
him.
Bring up Keke Palmer again?
Yeah, or maybe like, hey, sorry,
Goodell's wife?
Kyle Juszczyk. I know your wife has a licensing deal, but I just didn't need her to sit right here.
Hey, salute to Kristen Juszczyk, making the most of the moment, getting her apparel's now licensed. Like, Taylor Swift is like the ultimate accelerator, and salute to Kyle Juszczyk getting in all the comments saying, my wife's jacket.
Oh,
that's my wife's NFL, Complex, ESPN, probably us, Sportsnet, like every big social media account that posted the Taylor Swift jacket, he was in the comments saying, that's my wife's apparel.
Proud or was in the doghouse and just trying to slowly work
him out? No, proud. Okay. Like, she wouldn't expect him to do that. Like, my guy's going an extra mile.
No. I just need Usher to be like, sorry, Brittany Mahomes, I'm just going to need you on stage real quick. We're just going to improve your curating real fast. Oh, my gosh.
Is anybody having a greater ride than Brittany Mahomes? Thankfully, we haven't seen Jackson.
Just leveling up her.
Leveling up? Like, it's what is above leveling up? It's whatever that is. That's the space that she's in. Because, you know, she's going to be next. She's going to be glued to Taylor Swift in that suite.
In the corporate workforce, like, failing up?
Yeah, and yes, and that it's a real thing, failing upwards. Yeah, Brittany Mahomes is having a moment. Yeah, how much do you think Travis is under a lot of pressure?
I think Travis is going to go hard. It was Pat Riley who said...
About Travis Kelce?
No. Can I finish?
Like, sorry.
Can I just give me a pregnant pause so I can finish my thought? About veterans, the aroma of a championship. So when you get close, when you can smell it, like, they're willing to do a little bit extra and really go a little bit hard. He was talking about that Miami Heat team that had a bunch of vets, like Gary Payton, Shaq.
Oh, in 2006.
Yeah. And
Antoine Walker, I think, was on that team.
Yes, yeah. Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah.
They just had a bunch of vets. Just like, did you win an all-star game 6+ years ago? You could come on this team with D. Wade. And it'll be a trivia question in 25 years. And I think Travis Kelce sees this as like his exit ramp. I'm going to be in a different stratosphere in terms of popularity. Manning cast. We can come with the Kelce cast. Me and my bro, we're going to retire at the same time, go in the Hall of Fame at the same time. My girl who's always going to keep me relevant. I'm sorry, Patrick. I don't need to go over the middle on the WASP play anymore and get my ribs taken out by Kyle Hamilton.
So what you're saying is there's a lot of pressure. He has to win.
Yes, because I think this is his last dance. This is the last scene of the documentary where, you know, he walks out hand in hand with his girl. You cut to his brother in the suite with his shirt off, just screaming. And I think this is a wrap for him. Out top, like, tops Jerry Rice's record, wins his last championship, screams a Beastie Boy lyric on stage with Romo and Jim Nance. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on him. But you know who I think the most pressure is on in this game?
Kyle Shanahan.
Correct.
Why does Kyle Shanahan have the most pressure?
Because at some point, you go from boy genius to bridesmaid. And coordinator, Falcons.
Ooh, 28-3 game?
Correct. Couldn't get it done. You had a stacked Niners team for a while. Got to one. Garoppolo misses.
Emmanuel Sanders.
That's right.
Yeah.
Didn't get that done. And they were up big in that game as well.
I think they were by 10 points in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter, yes. And then now, if you get back there against not even the worst Chiefs team.
But the
I would say the worst, like, AFC champion of a long time. And you still can't get it done?
It's the worst offensive Chiefs team, but probably the best defensive Chiefs team.
That's true.
Those guys are, like, Chris Jones and them boys are mother bleepers, bro. Legarius Sneed, mother bleeper. Like, these guys are... Kafkin, what's the DN, the rush end's name? George
Kalaftis.
Kalaftis. Underrated. Like, I'm like, that guy's putting all kinds of pressure on you. I agree with you, man. Kyle Shanahan's his job's not at stake, but his legacy's at stake.
Kalaftis looks like a Tecmo football player where he's got, like, no definition, no style, no swag, right. But he somehow makes plays.
It's like the base unit of like the video games, like the base model with, like, no accessories, no accoutrement.
Just like he's the power forward on the hockey team. That's like, yeah, sure, I'll come out and play some football for a little bit. Yeah. And like, I'm like, what? But they've got some injuries. You know, safety Brian Cook has been out for a while. Charles Manning, who D-end, will not play, torn ACL. So that takes him out of most of next year, although now people come back from Achilles in a season.
Well, one person does.
Well, no, one tried to or had us believe that he was going to try to. Well, when I don't think he ever was.
If the Jets were...
Cam Akers is the one who did.
Oh, yeah.
As a running back.
Yeah. But listen, if the Jets were like 9-5, My guy's playing on Christmas Day.
I was trying to not bring up the Jets to give you a break. Franchise is a hot mess. There's a New York Post story out about the fact that their coach, Robert Saleh, who looks like a friend of ours, Juice.
A little bit, yeah.
Who, the story is, he was so anal about the leaks in the building, he was confiscating coaches' phones. The fact that that story is out is a leak.
Yeah.
There's a leak about the fact that this guy's paranoid about leaks.
Did Andrew Marchand of the New York Post break that? That guy breaks like a bunch of stories.
He does. Must be hated by
every team. Like, but he's got leaks in so many organizations.
Yeah. As shout out to Diana Rossini, who has crushed the Jets with stuff.
Yeah.
And then
salute to her. She's and then phenomenal.
Saleh would go to the press conference and be like, yeah, you know, that's true. And then Aaron Rodgers would get on with McAfee and be like, I'm so mad that people are saying this. Like, dude, you're confirming that it's true by telling us that you're mad that people are talking about it.
Errol Hawani told a story recently on Pablo Torre's podcast about being in that the UFC would have like fake or have conference calls with like fake events to see if there were leaks to Hawani because his sources were so great and he would get like the real scoop, but they were like trying to, you know, find out who the, you
try
know,
to smoke him out.
Try to smoke him out. Exactly. So I can imagine Saleh on his paranoid game, like he's Henry Hill and Goodfellas looking at the frilling helicopters over above his head and trying to figure out who's the source.
I did hear of a similar story in media in our country where an organization was tired of the leaks, and so they put out a fake story to figure out if and when it was going to get back to, you know, a media blogger, I guess would be the best term in our country. Because I don't know if we have people dedicated to covering the media in the same way as it's a massive beat in the United States.
Correct, you know, yeah.
Richard Dice would probably be the head of that list with someone like Andrew Marchand. Anyways, I heard the same being true. It just makes you, speaking of phones, just not wanting to have one, quite frankly, because they're always listening.
Okay, so Kyle Shanahan. So Kyle Shanahan.
The most pressure.
The most pressure. Not as much pressure on Debo and George Kittle. And I think there's pressure on Brock Purdy because the narrative, I mean, obviously as fans of sports and working the media, we make our bread and butter on the narratives leading into games and then they play out however. But Purdy, what is that guy making, like a million?
Less than 800.
800 for, and then for the next two seasons? Or when can he re-up? Because he's in year two. Is it 3 years or 4 years? I can't remember what the entry-level contract is.
Well, it's not even a standard entry because he wasn't drafted. It would have just been whatever his agent.
No, he drafted 256.
That's right. You're right. Drafted, thank you. You're
but,
right.
But, you know, at the end of the draft.
Great call.
But so he's obviously going to get, like, you know, some performance bonuses and stuff. But this is, like, what an opportunity for the guy in year two. And maybe because it's only year two, he's like, oh, we can get back here. Like Dan Marino probably thought in 1984, getting back to the Super Bowl. I'm Dan Marino. And the guy was, I mean, I can't compare. I'm only comparing their situations, not their talent, because Dan Marino is in the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Purdy is so green and young. I heard him say this about the matchup in Super Bowl that I remember watching Mahomes in high school. I was like, dude, what? How, like, Mahomes is 28.
Yeah.
How is he the person you looked up to and now you're playing against?
Yeah,
he's
that's
still
true. That's awesome.
Super young.
That's incredible. How much pressure do you think CMC is under?
Interesting. I mean, we don't really tag running backs with the same legacy of you have to win, but he has forever been a runner-up. Runner-up in the Heisman. And
shout out to Derrick Henry in Alabama who won that.
Correct. And didn't play in his bowl game in his last year, so he doesn't have that signature college moment. He played college football in Colorado, so no one really cares what he did. And he was on a terrible Panthers team. So, yeah, I would
but
say.
But now, like, Christian McCaffrey is like, they were floating his name. It's like, he might be the first non-quarterback to win MVP since Adrian Peterson. And he's like one of the golden boys. I mean, he comes from a football family. Ed McCaffrey won a couple of titles with John Elway and the Denver Broncos. Salute to Shannon Sharp. Salute to Unc. you know, those two Broncos teams in the late 90s.
Him and your boy Chad need to calm down.
Oh, in the late night?
Yeah,
the late night.
Man.
I like those. When I see those clips on IG, I watch them.
They need to just stop telling on themselves. It might be cute and funny now, but there's going to be a portion of their lives later in life where, you know, just having your sexual exploits on the internet is not beneficial.
Well, people love authenticity, the bro.
Now, Shannon Sharp wants to pull the Triple H and go from star to executive,
yeah,
whatever company he's at, it's just not going to be cool to have that stuff on the internet. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, it's a fair point. But maybe we won't care about that in like 8 years. I don't know. Who knows where the culture's going to be in, 2032.
What's your end game is the question.
That is a great question. What is your end game before you start talking reckless on the internet or in front of hot microphones?
Speaking of the internet, what's going on with all the beef right now? Like every time I'm on the X app, there is someone fighting with someone else, whether it's Stephen A. and Whitlock or RG3 and Jay Gruden.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Oh yeah,
it's Cat Williams versus whoever he named.
Everybody,
versus
everybody.
In that Shannon Sharp interview, what's it? Gilbert Arenas and not Kwame Brown. There's another
It was Kwame Brown.
Yeah, but I think that's an old clip. But it's salacious. And
Joe Budden's versus everybody.
Yeah, Joe Budden. Most Def versus Drake.
Correct.
And then he had to retract the statement. Me walk it back. He's not Papa or whatever. And we will. I'm sure Drake wrote 64 bars for that dude in an upcoming J. Cole project that we don't know when that's gonna drop. We'll just get the thumbnail of the album cover, you know, in like 2 months, and then boom, and then you know the internet's gonna be inflamed or supported or however. But yeah, there's a lot of beefs. I'm here for it though. As someone that loves to consume pettiness, I'm here for it, bro. I believe you are too.
Last massive beef before we get out and get your prediction for Sunday's big game. This is the beef I never thought I'd see. I never thought I'd see one across the aisle. Like, yeah, we're all good with betting. 38 different states, red states, blue states. Yep, we're good. We can be on the same side and bipartisan on that.
In the pursuit of making money.
Correct. But the thing that really is the culture war divisive thing is, do you rock with Taylor Swift or not in relation to football games? Like, how is this a thing? The news clips are wild. And I'm just like, wait, now you're mad about climate control and climate change?
Because of her private plane, she's going to be flying back from Tokyo.
Yes.
Like, and, well, they I don't know, they lob that complaint, criticism to superstars, but they don't really care about climate change.
But
like, oh, you're carbon imprint when your private plane is this. Like, you don't really care if that's what you're going after, and not like the beef industry.
She is a country singer dating a bro from a red state who crushes Bush Light and once again screams Beastie Boy lyrics.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
If any couple would be somewhat palatable for this base, I would think it would be her. Like, it's not like it's Nicki Minaj in the suite with Killer Trav. It's Taylor Swift.
Could you imagine? Oh my gosh.
I could.
If it was Travis Kelce and Cardi B.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Internet would just be in flames. That is. It's probably due to Taylor's overexposure, no?
No. Well, so can we just stop with that misnomer? Do you know that the average she is shown during a football telecast? They've done the stats.
Four times? But every touchdown, she's...
Guy.
How many times per game then?
A game is 3.5 hours long, let's say, give or take. The actual play time in a game is only 18 minutes.
Still a 3.5-hour broadcast.
On average... For games she's been at, she's been shown for 25 seconds, less than a commercial.
Yeah, that's 25 seconds in total, but that could be eight different shots, reaction shots of her celebrating or just, oh, there's Taylor Swift.
That's over three Steve Nash 7 seconds or less basketball possessions.
Yeah, but we're talking about the frequency of how much we've seen her, not the actual duration of the clips. And also, so much of the audience just consumes sports on their phones. So if you're scrolling up, you might see Taylor Swift 11 times in a row on your phone from various media platforms that just have her reaction or have her entering the building or have her, you know, her and Travis kissing at the end of the AFC Championship game or whatever. Right. Like, you're going to see her a bunch more times on your phone than the actual broadcast.
We see Jerry Jones 10 times as much. We've seen Spike Lee, courtside. Not only do we
These
see
are old dudes,
we,
no, though.
Not only do we see Drake takes a headset and does a comedy routine with Matt Devlin. Like, this is not unique to her or new, but for some reason it's like ruining the sport because they show her high-fiving some random people.
I agree with you more than I disagree with you, and I don't have a problem with seeing Taylor Swift on the broadcast. It just adds to the story and adds to the pomp and circumstance of football and football in America and all that kind of stuff. For Travis, obviously, I hope that he wins the game. And actually, more for Mahomes, because I ride with Patrick LeVar Mahomes II. And salute to his pops, smoking that. After every victory or big victory, his pops will have a cigar. And the special blend that he's smoking is the name of the quarterback that his son beat. So, in the AFC Championship game, he's like, I'm smoking that Lamar Jackson blend. And he's so cool. And none of the cool was passed down from Patrick Mahomes, the first senior, to Patrick Mahomes Jr.
I mean, the way he plays is cool.
Huh?
The way he plays is cool.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Sidearms and no. I don't know I don't know if he will unleash a no-look pass again, but yeah, Patrick Mahomes, talent-wise, is just, he's out there. He's, you know, as you said earlier, he's like the Jordan of the NFL, but he's got to win more MVPs, and he has to, obviously, be a three-time Super Bowl champion at the end of Super Bowl 56.
He's not afforded to be able to throw no-look passes with this receiving group. Maybe it's Kelsey. Remember in high school
Tyreek
basketball?
Tyreek isn't walking through that door anymore.
No. Remember in high school basketball when the coach was like, a pass is a contract from me to you. You have to see the recipient of the pass.
Drills.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's what Holmes is doing. He's like pointing at you and throwing it.
I remember
and saying
drills.
A prayer while it's in the air. All right.
Oh, my God.
Quickly, your prediction.
Heavily leveraged on the Kansas City Chiefs. I was heavily leveraged on the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm doing something which I would never say to do. Like, it's do as I say, not as I do. I'm chasing. So, heavily leveraged on Kansas City Chiefs.
My prediction is that...
Shout out to Steve Spagnuolo.
Not only... We trust in Spags. Give this man another head coaching opportunity. I said on Checkdown earlier this week, he needs to be in the Hall of Fame as a coordinator.
Well, man, if he gets the fourth ring, he will be the all-time winningest coordinator.
Correct, which is not a stat we keep, but it's also ridiculous.
True.
Coordinators are not in the Hall, but he needs to be the first one. My prediction is, I mean, obviously, I'm a homie. I draft Patrick in every draft, and we'll be coming for him in our keeper league, if the Prez doesn't get him with the first overall pick, we'll see. Well, but I'll take CMC as a nice consolation prize. Obviously, I'm on the Chiefs, but my prediction is not only do they win, not only does Travis Kelce get his first Super Bowl MVP.
Wow.
Taylor Swift, post game, gets on bended knee.
No, man. No, man. No, everybody, like so many people think
proposes,
the NFL is rigged or sports are rigged. That would go in line with the script.
Can I tell my story?
There's no way that happens.
Can I tell my story?
Yes, tell your story.
She proposes to him.
What? She's an alpha, bro. What are you talking about?
That's why she proposes to him.
Come on.
We want prenup. We want prenup. Yeah. Something that you need to have. She proposes to him. Jim Nance officiates it right there.
Oh,
we're getting it
this
done. We're in Vegas, where you get married at the chapel right there. Tony Romo, the ring boy. Oh, my goodness, Jim. Look at the carrots. Look at this, Jim.
Because in that way, would she be buying the ring for herself? Like, look at the carrots? Because the dude's not rocking carrots. Well, maybe. Maybe he's got carrots on his Super Bowl ring.
Maybe.
Did you type that up in Midjourney? This AI masterpiece you're talking about?
Chat GPT.
Helped you with this story?
Hit me with that. That's what I want, because the internet literally will break. Because after they won the AFC Championship game, I had like a running commentary with captions of everything she did, from going from the suite down to field level, what she was saying to Donna Kelsey, where she was saying, "Where's dad?" Which, you know, it's real love when she's calling the in-law dad already. That's like when you're holding hands, walking down the sidewalk and no one wants to let go. That's real love. That is my prediction. We shall see what happens on Sunday. Enjoy it. Please do not over leverage yourself.
Already have.
All right. Conversation about the Super Bowl with two people who know very little about it. Let's have a conversation about the Super Bowl with someone who knows a lot about it, and that would be KJ Wright, Super Bowl champion and Pro Bowler. Played for the Seattle Seahawks, or friends in Vancouver know his work well. Played in the Super Bowl twice, winning it in 2013. He was also named Seahawks Man of the Year in 2018. Great player, great dude. Additionally, he is a member of the 2022 SEC Football Legends Class. Let's holler with a legend. Let's talk to KJ Wright about the Super Bowl. So KJ, I want to get into the game, but I want your perspective on everything that happens around the game. As a player, you dream of this moment, this week, but it's a football game in the sense it's going to be 10 yards to get a first down and the field is still going to be the same. But there's so much that's going on. How do you embrace this moment, really revel in it, but also stay locked in on the task at hand?
Well, I tell you, the first 3 days is absolute mayhem. It's absolute chaos. You win the NFC Championship, the AFC Championship. You're like, oh, my God, I'm playing the biggest game of my life. And then your phone just starts blowing up. Like, hey, when can I come to the game? Can I get a ticket? Hey, where are we staying at? Oh, this person, this. Like, people are pulling you in so many different directions. And it is an absolute nightmare those first 3 days. And then things start to settle down. You get that figured out. And then it happens all over again when you get to your destination, to wherever you're playing in. I played in New York my first Super Bowl, played in Arizona my second Super Bowl. Then the mayhem starts all over again. But right when it hits about Tuesday, Wednesday of Super Bowl week, that's when it's really time to, everything is blocked off, leave me alone. I'm all the way focused on my opponents, and it is absolutely, right now, it is game time. And so that's the stress that we go through, the anxiety that we go through as athletes, trying to get everything handled, all the logistics. When it's time to dial into that film, I'm locked in, I'm dialed in. And anybody else that's not my teammate or my coach, you can leave me alone.
So how do you manage that? Is there a go-to person, you know, talk to Mom Dukes, talk to my cousin, you know, make them the bad guy? How do you manage all of that? Because I don't know what the allotment is per player and how that works, but I do know right now it's 10K to get in the building. So how do you manage that?
For me, it's, hey, talk to my dad. Talk to my dad. He's the one. And when you go to the Super Bowl, you get 15 tickets. So it's your top 15 favorite people on the planet, and just know that number 16 is going to feel some type of way and hate you for a long time. So that's just simply how it goes. And so you really got to just handle it, get it done, and say, this is it. There's nothing else I can do. You get your family apartment or a hotel, put them all in one spot. And after that, hey, leave me alone. There's nothing I can do. I'm not going to ask my coach or ask the general manager if I can get extra tickets. It does not work like that. And so it is a big headache, but it's the biggest game in the year, man. It's the biggest game in the world. My personal team, Super Bowl Sunday is everything. And when you make it to this, a lot comes with it. But at the end of the day, it's still a blast.
I can't imagine. My brother's planning a wedding right now, and he's stressing for 150. So I can't imagine what 15 looks like. It might be good to get there when you're married, because then you don't have to worry about, you know, some side pieces wanting some tickets. It's just family and kids, and the 15 adds up a lot quicker. The other aspect of this Super Bowl that's different, and you're right there on Radio Row, is it's in Vegas. Like, there's a massive event there every week. It's super fascinating that it's in Vegas. Meanwhile, for players, like if you chew gum and thinking about making a bet, you could get fined. So
you better believe it.
What is this like there on the ground floor where you see all that Vegas has to offer everywhere, but there's certain things and ways that you have to move if you're a professional athlete?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, there's cameras everywhere. There's groupies everywhere out here. It is a lot of distractions here in Vegas. And I said this. I played in Vegas my last year. I played with the Raiders my last year. And I'm telling you, there's just so many distractions. There's casinos, there's cameras, there's people like every single direction you turn. If you are not focused, you're not dialed in and just really locked in, you can get caught up in the sauce here. You can get caught up in a lot of mess. And so it takes a lot of maturity from these guys to understand, I got one opportunity, once in a lifetime moment, but who knows if I can ever get back to this. I went to two and I thought I was going to get somehow go to another one. I didn't even get close to coming to another Super Bowl. So understand, it takes the utmost focus, the utmost detail to really approach this week right here in Vegas. And so stay locked in, stay at your resort, have your family come there. There's no reason these guys should be going to the strip, coming here, hanging out, stay at your hotel and just watch film and be ready for a big-time performance.
When you look at this game, you got to be like a proud papa right now because, man, there are some backers in this game.
Oh yeah.
Who can do it all. Yeah. Sideline to sideline, yeah. They can blitz and bring pressure, run fit, zone landmarks. When you look at the position that maybe people have forgotten defensively as it's all about your corners and edge pressure, what do you think of these two teams and how they got here off the back of some strong defenses and some strong backers?
Well, name me a great defense that didn't have great linebackers. We can go to the Baltimore Ravens. We can go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We go to the Chicago Bears. If you want to win championships, if you want to be dominant, I truly believe that you need some badass linebackers on your football field. And I think both of these teams have that. You look at Fred Warner. You look at Dre Greenlaw. Just each and every game day, they're commanding the huddle, running sideline to sideline, making plays left and right, celebrating. Then you look at Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil and Willie Gay over there in Kansas City. Guys are playing like some studs as well. We saw Nick Bolton last year in the performance that he had in the Super Bowl. And so defense wins championships. If you want these linebackers to really cover the Travis Kelce, cover the George Kittle, the Christian McCaffrey, they have got to be on point in this ball game. And so I'm really excited to see how these guys really approach this week, what their game plan is, how they shut down these running backs and tight ends. Because the linebacker position is going to be critical when it comes to winning this ball game on Sunday.
It's a fascinating point you make about championship defenses and the linebacker position. So why is their franchise tag number not going up the way it is at other positions? Why do you think that position isn't being valued as much when it comes to paying people?
That's a really good question. You look at obviously where the money is going for the quarterback. Going to the wide receivers, you got to protect the quarterback. You got to pay the defensive back to cover the receivers. And so when you look at where the emphasis goes, it goes to those positions. It goes to the quarterback, who the quarterback's getting the ball to, who's protecting the quarterback, who's sacking the quarterback. And that's obviously what that position is. It's the DBs, it's the offensive linemen. And by the time it comes to spending money, then you look at the linebackers. So that's the market. We're fighting. It has gotten better, but they can even do much more with that position.
Once again, thank you so much to KJ. You hear the acumen in his voice, and you can hear his voice. If you enjoyed this podcast, thank you for making it this far. Like, favorite, share, subscribe, and make sure you do the same for his. KJ All Day is where you can get his takes. You can find it on Spotify, on Apple, where you can find this one, and on YouTube, where you can't find this one, but he's good enough you want to listen to and watch him. Also, again, for our friends on the West Coast, he's on radio, ESPN 710 AM in Seattle. So get those bunny ears out. You can hear him in BC. The KJ Wright Show is what you want to listen to. And if you want to learn from him via social, KJ_Wright34 on IG, on Twitter, always driving the conversation. Now, leading up to this Super Bowl and throughout the weekend, I don't know if you've noticed, what's been driving the conversation is a young lady by the name of Taylor Swift. She's taken over Super Bowl week. Some of the hysteria is a bit much, I'm not going to lie, but some of the coverage is warranted. Leave it to me to decipher what's real and what's fake and what the Taylor effect truly is and why generally people are just hating. Thanks so much for listening. As we leave you on this episode to get you ready for the Super Bowl, here's my take on the Taylor Swift effect.
She actually looks like she's legitimately fawning over this guy. Like, they look in love. She's just there watching the game, doing her thing, and people now hate her. None of it makes sense.
What are we doing? Why can't we have nice things? The biggest controversy this Super Bowl isn't Spygate or a team getting here due to a bad call.
No flag. Crowd's going crazy as there's no flag right on the Saints sideline.
It isn't the 49ers talking smack.
I'm the guy! I'm him!
Or Mahomes Sr. getting pulled over.
Patrick Mahomes Sr., he's been arrested for DUI in Texas just days now before his son is set to play in the Super Bowl.
The unforgivable crime for some is the Time Person of the Year getting too much airtime.
Listen to this. The New York Times measured how long she was actually on the broadcast. Do you know how long it is on average? 25 seconds.
The coverage of T-Swift has been offside more than Kadarius Toney.
Travis Kelce flings it back over to Toney. My goodness, this is going for a touchdown.
I think it's coming back.
Offside, number 19, offense.
Toney was lined up.
You've got to be kidding me.
In the neutral zone.
It's as if she invented swag surfing and her boyfriend Kelce invented a fade haircut.
The Travis Kelce haircut is apparently taking barbershops by storm. The New York Times began Black History Month by referring to the fade as the Travis Kelce.
What? They changed it up, huh?
New York Times, so that's how you start Black History. Giving Trav, and that's my nephew, you gonna give him credit for the fade.
But she does bring influencer value. Kyle Juszczyk's wife, Kristen, went viral and got a licensing deal after Taylor rocked her design. People have tracked everything from the Chiefs' record when she's in the building to her tour schedule, flight path, and what it means to cross the international dateline. You can track the hysteria back to this moment. Pulling up top down in the convertible, this moment is when they became officially official and led to magazine profiles and a folklore domination of the monoculture. Travis shot his shot on his podcast.
I know you went to the Taylor Swift concert. You made her a bracelet?
I wanted to give Taylor Swift one with my number on it.
Your number's in 87 or your phone number?
You know which one.
His Hail Mary was answered. This is the stuff rom-coms are made of. To those that say his public love affair correlated with his down numbers, wrong.
She certainly isn't affecting him negatively. That brother's been balling.
Let's be honest. Does Taylor Swift need the NFL's help?
People would come up to me and they'd be like, you're going to just like do a show with like all the albums in it? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be called the Eras Tour. See you there.
The only person who packs stadiums more consistently and has people party outside the stadium like it's an NFL game is Taylor Swift. The Eras Tour grossed over $1 billion. First tour ever to do it. Her tour movie made over 500 million first weekend. She does numbers.
Mama is the guy on the Chiefs.
She's not subtracting from the spectacle that is football. She's actually adding, if not multiplying it. Ratings are up. Ticket prices are up.
The estimated $332 million that the NFL and the Chiefs have made off of her in brand value.
You're kidding.
Since she came into the picture.
The Super Bowl is the one football game all season that isn't just about the game. Many of you, if you're being honest, are the most locked in for the ads and the music.
This might be my favorite sidekick ever. What?
And you know they're gonna cut to Taylor during Usher's performance. Watch this.
Watch this.
Best believe, the Super Bowl isn't just legislating Brock Purdy's legitimacy, or Patrick Mahomes' legacy, or Kyle Shanahan's redemption. It's about the Swift effect. And that's okay, orchestrated or organic.
The idea that this was in a script and this is pre-planned, that's just, it's nonsense.
Real love or fake news? The NFL is in its Taylor era, and it's here to stay.
She's rewriting the history books herself. I told her I'll have to hold up my end of the bargain and come home some hardware too.